This morning we are reading from Philippians 4, verse 2 to 9. And I'll read from starting verse 2 here. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. This is the fourth in our series of messages about our vision and what we need to be hoping for, what we need to be looking for, what we need to be growing toward, if indeed we are going to find and live the vision that God has for us. Euodia and Syntyche. Two ladies, two members of the early church, two of the very first people to hear the gospel, and because the Holy Spirit came within them, accepted it, and became part of the body of believers, part of the Christian church. These two ladies, we learn in this passage, were very involved in the leading of and in the planting of the first churches. These were two ladies who stood side by side, shoulder to shoulder, in the cause of the gospel and brought the word to their society. They worked with the Apostle Paul in preaching, in sharing, in gathering, and in lifting up. These were two ladies who saw the power of God at work, who saw the demons crash to the ground and the glory of God lifted up. And in their city of Philippi, they saw a church born and growing. I would like to have known these two ladies and heard their stories. But on this day, the day that we read this text, these two ladies are sitting together in church. Well, actually, they're not sitting together. These two ladies are in church, but one is sitting over there, and the other is sitting over there. These are two ladies who, despite the fact that they have this history of ministry and the things that they've seen and the things that they've done, they are practicing avoiding eye contact with each other. When they came into the room, they were part of this dance of avoidance. There's Euodia. Okay, I'm going to go around this way, and I'm going to be looking that way when I know, because I don't want any connection. Because It is so awful between these two. The relationship between Euodia and Syntyche is strained, to say the least. Like, we don't know what's the issue. Well, why are they not getting along? Why are they having this tension in their relationship? The Bible doesn't even give us a hint about that. But what is clear is that is having a negative impact on the church itself. But Euodia and Syntyche are way too stubborn to deal with it, and they are much too proud. That's the situation. That's what it is. That's what the reality of this church is. Anyway, on this particular day, the church has gathered, and it has gathered for a special reason. We have to get together because you know what's happened? A letter has been received. The Apostle Paul, who is in prison in Rome, has found a way to write us a lengthy letter, and he addresses it to us, to the whole church. So the church gathers so that the community leader, the pastor or elder or whatever, I'm not even sure who would have been the reader, said, okay, people, everybody settle down. I'm going to start reading. And he began to read the letter that we call the letter to the Philippians. For the first time, the words came into the world spoken. And Paul wrote such a lovely letter. Really, really nice. He said in his letter about how much he loved the Philippian Christians and how he so earnestly and passionately prayed for them to the Lord. Explicitly, I prayed to the Lord for you. In his letter, he quotes one of their most favorite songs, a song that they sing regularly because it's so powerful. It's about Christ's humility and how the Lord gave up everything to be with us, and that he is exalted, and that in his name that we be exalted with him. Glory be to God. He urges them in this letter. He says, you should shine like stars. You should press on to the goal and win the prize that Jesus Christ is holding out to you. Oh, such encouragement, such beautiful, powerful words, and the people were soaking it in. Oh, thank you, Paul, for giving us this message. You're a leader, you're an apostle, and the Spirit is speaking through you, and we are being blessed. Oh, glory be to God. Wow. But then, all of a sudden, Paul makes this letter intensely personal. He says this, I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Okay, imagine you're Euodia. And imagine you're Syntyche, and you're in the assembly with all your friends, all your fellow believers. The Apostle Paul has written all these beautiful, lovely things, and now he says he lays bare your conflict. I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with you, Syntyche. Euodia and Syntyche swallow hard, try to keep their eyes firmly fixed on the floor as they feel everyone else's eyes on them. How embarrassing. How humiliating for them. Even now, 2,000 years later, we're still talking about their shame, about their inability to get along. An obvious lesson. in this for us, isn't there? We have and do dance the dance of avoidance. Avoid eye contact and refuse to settle things that divide. I would dare say that we'd be hard-pressed to find a community that that's not true, because it is part of our nature, our fallen and sinful nature, to nurse grudges and to hang on to those things that would divide us. So it's good to hear this. But I looked at the passage, not just at those first three verses, or the second and third verse of this chapter. I also read verses 4 and 7. And if you have your Bibles, I would recommend that you even open your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. Because what you'll see, I think you'll see that with me. I certainly see it. Philippians chapter 4. If you're, it's on page 1231. Verses 2 and 3 are clearly addressed to Euodia and Syntyche. And then in verse 4, it makes a jump. It seems like, what's with that? Why is he saying this about Euodia and Syntyche in verse 2 and 3? And then in verse 4, make this jump. All of a sudden he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And it goes on. And I thought, what's with that transition? I struggled with that, how to interpret that. And what I came to understand, and this is my conclusion, and I don't know if everybody would make the same conclusion, but it's mine, and I'm the preacher, and I'm here, and you're listening to me. I think that verses 4 and 7, 4 through 7, are words spoken directly to Euodia and Syntyche. That he had this harsh, not harsh, he wasn't harsh, it was urging, the strong urging to settle. And then he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Euodia and Syntyche, this is my word to you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be evident to all, to these two women who have done such good things with him for the gospel in the community, who now are estranged. So you are gentle spirits who've let this issue divide you. Remember who you are. Remember what you are. He calls them to rejoice. He affirms their gentle spirits. He asks them, you see, not to be anxious, which certainly they were. The whole situation was breeding anxiety, but to keep going to God in prayer. I think that's a key word in this, because when we are divided, and when we have conflict, the first thing that goes is our capacity to pray. And I can tell you, when I have found myself deep in the midst of conflict, the hardest thing in the world for me to do is to pray. Because I think I am out of step with the Spirit when I am in conflict. And so Paul is saying, don't be anxious, don't let your conflict keep you from being connected to the Lord. Keep going to him in prayer. He gives them the promise that they will have peace. Verse 7 says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. These are powerful lessons, powerful words for Bethel Church in Waterdown, Ontario. For me, for you. What this tells us is that we should strive to be the kind of community that recognizes conflict and does everything it can to not allow the context for conflict to arise. And there'll be a whole series of sermons about that. But we need to not allow this to divide us as it did Euodia and Syntyche. When we read this, I should get one of our medical people up here, because there is such a thing as a curative care and there is preventative care. When you are sick, you need to be cured. So if you have cancer, you need surgery or chemotherapy. If you have a heart condition, you need digitalis or whatever drugs that you're given. You need something that will come into your illness and bring you health. If you are healthy, you need that which will prevent you from being sick. What we have here, and the tendency is he's talking about Euodia and Syntyche, in verse 2 and 3. So the rest of it is because they are in the sickness that is conflict, this is the cure for that. And there certainly is a dimension of that. But I think we should understand this also in the terms of the preventative treatment. To help us to stay out of conflict. Because we're not all, this whole church is not like one big ball of nasty old conflict. Either there's bits of it here and there, perhaps, like broken people tend to have. But if we wish to be a church, once we find health and vision, to move forward in ministry, then these two are the things that we need to do, to hang on to practice, so that we can be effective in ministry like we are called to do. We are called to rejoice in the Lord. We think we're only going to rejoice when something spectacular happens. We forget that every day of life that we are given is a spectacular event where the grace of God is revealed in us. Seize on the good that the Lord has planted within you and in others. Recognize the gifts of God that He has sprinkled all over the place in us and among us. And knowing that God is God, that He is the King, that we sit at His feet and we are His servants, not only His servants, He has elevated us to heirs, to sons and daughters of the King of Kings. So refuse to be anxious. Say, I will not let the demon of anxiety rule my life so the joy of my salvation is snatched away, so I don't experience the sweetness of life in Christ. I will not be anxious. We will not be anxious. We will trust and we will serve the Lord. We will pray. We will have that relationship with God. We will stay connected, and we will give Him glory together. And all that means, we're going to embrace peace. This will be a place of peace, where the peace of God that passes all understanding is felt and experienced. Euodia and Syntyche. You know what their names mean? Euodia means good road. Hey, good road. Well, that was what people would say when they're leaving, like, Godspeed, blessings on your way. Good road. May a good road be open before you. It was almost like saying, may good things happen to you. That's a lovely name. I'm really surprised that when we had were expecting our babies, that we never thought of Euodia as a name. We never did. I don't know anybody named Euodia. Or Syntyche. I love that name. Do you know what Syntyche means? If any of you people are expecting babies, think about it. Syntyche. I love it. It means fortunate, the fortunate one. So you have blessings on the way, and may you experience fortune. May you be fortunate. May you be blessed. Love it. We need, as God's people, to be people of Euodia and experience the Syntyche that comes as a gift from God. Live and minister in such a way that we reflect back to God all that He is. When we look at that, can you go back to that screen where those words were in white? All those things. I was looking at that, and I was so struck that I'm the one that put the slide together, and I changed the color of those words because those are God words. Hey, we're called to be true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, excellent and praiseworthy. That's what he says. This is what you should be. This is what you should strive to look like. But who looks like that? The Lord is the one who looks like that. Who is the definition of truth and nobility and rightness and purity and loveliness and admirable stuff? And who is excellent and praiseworthy? We know that that is the Lord. And we have to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord so that we can work at the process of transformation, which means that we become ever more like Him. If we want to fulfill a vision and have a ministry in this place that is as powerful and effective as the Lord wishes it to be among us, then we need to be that, because He is that true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, and He is peace. We can together receive His peace. We can share His peace. We can worship the God of peace and stand beside and walk in step with the Prince of Peace. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, You who are all these things, You who are so beautiful, You who are so majestic, You who are so everything that we should be, help us to not let sin prevent us from being true or pure or lovely or admirable or excellent or praiseworthy. We wish it that when we look at each other, we see You. And when the community out there is looking for things that are deeply true and hopeful, that they'll look at us and they'll see a community that is mirroring back the God that we serve, who created and called us. Lord, we have a long ways to go on this. But with You beside us, encouraging us and equipping us, we can move. We can move forward. May it be so. In the name of Christ. Amen.